Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And we've covered a million different angles on this show because real estate has a trillion different angles. And if you're curious, this podcast is sponsored by Lee Brown University, which is the newest online offering from me, which is all of the things you need to do to have a successful real estate business, at least if you want it to look like what my team and I have done. So you can get more information on that at leebrown.com. Now, today, our guest is somebody that's going to give you a story to remember. This is Monica Glennon. Monica, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So tell our listeners where you practice real estate, how long you've been in real estate, and any background tidbit they need to know to understand you a little bit better.
I have been in real estate almost 20 years. I actually got my first license in North San Diego County, California. But I practice and have been in Huntsville, Alabama for 12 years. Gotten licenses in different states. My husband was in military, so we moved a lot. And it seemed like the one job where I can actually take care of my children and do the work for my clients. But I have been here for 12 years, and I do both listings and buyers and investors and kind of plug along.
And just so you know, people in the normal world, the Huntsville, Alabama market is different than most other real estate markets. Because y'all hear the word Alabama and you assume that it is straight up deep south, but Huntsville has one of the highest concentrations of engineers and scientists of anywhere in the world because of the space program. So when somebody says they're a Huntsville realtor, you got to give an extra level of respect because, Monica, that means you're dealing with heavily detail-oriented people all the time.
I deal with clients who normally work with spreadsheets, and they will come and tell me exactly what they want. You're right. We have the highest concentration of PhDs here in Huntsville. It is really a jewel in the South. It's not like any other city. We have enormous amount of mix of people from not just around the country, but also around the world, from around the world. It is a high-tech city. It is growing really, really fast. We're projected to be the biggest city in Alabama within the next 5 to 6 years. So yes, this is definitely not what people think Alabama is.
Which is actually kind of fun. It's nice to surprise people, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so you agreed to come on the show because something has occurred in your real estate life that was something you never expected to have happen. So why don't you tell our listeners something that they'd never see on HGTV, frankly?
True. Something that, yes, probably nobody expects would happen to them. And it's definitely a crazy story, and it has cost me a lot. But I will give you a quick how it all started. It actually, to me, started in 2015. My husband and I just celebrated 25 years of our marriage, and we actually just came back from the honeymoon we've never had. So,
congratulations. That's a big deal.
Thank you. And in any case, so it's been only like a week since we got back, and I'm laying in bed. And as you know, a lot of realtors are not very early risers, or not maybe not risers, but not morning people, because we tend to stay up late and work late. And my phone started going off about 6 o'clock in the morning. And I looked at my phone and it was my broker. I'm going, oh, no, why? Why would you call me at 6 o'clock in the morning? So I ignored it. And then she called again and she called again. I'm going, okay, this is just crazy. So I pick up the phone and I say, what could be so important at 6 o'clock in the morning? And she says, you have to see somebody said something really bad about you online. I'm like, okay, well, you know, I've worked in real estate a really long time. That might be my first bad review. That's what I thought it was going to be, a bad review. And I said, I'll deal with it later. She says, no, you don't understand. So she sends me screenshots, what was posted, a link to a story that was posted on Remax Facebook, our local Remax Facebook, and also what the corporate received, Remax Corporate. And I'm starting to read the story, and it is a story that lady writes that supposedly her and her husband were looking for a home. And I guess I set up an appointment to show a home and she couldn't make it. So only her husband went. And when she decided she could make it after all, she gets to the house and she finds me and her husband having sexual relations.
Oh, and you didn't know about this. The first you knew.
No, that's the first time. I have to tell you, it's such a shock to you. To your system when something like this happens. And you kind of go, wait, did I forget something? That's just a joke. This has never happened. But in any case, so she goes on saying they ended up getting divorced and she got everything in divorce because she has pictures of all of that and all that stuff. Yes, it was just absolutely crazy story. Basically also said, don't ever, ever use this lady as a realtor. She is worst enemy of all women out there. And I'm going, what in the world has happened? So I start digging and I thought, well, I know the story is not true. I know my family would never believe that. My husband wouldn't believe it. He always says, I'm too busy to do anything.
Love him. And that's a true story right there.
but in any case, so what I ended up doing, trying to find out who did it, is I filed a federal lawsuit here in Alabama and kind of blazed the trail for hopefully others who come after me, and maybe it'll be a little bit easier for them. But it has taken me 2 years to find out who it was, which turned out to be a total, total stranger. And the biggest thing was I could not figure out why would somebody do that to me? You know, I've listened to your podcast before, and a lot of times I hear somebody say, you know, you put out good karma comes out, put out bad karma. I'm going, what did I do? Because I tried to put out good karma out there. So it turns out that if you go back to 2014, I, under one of the news, little Facebook news stories, everybody gets them locally. There was a story that ran and I expressed a different opinion than the person who was very unhappy with what I said. So it was basically a debate. I considered a debate. She considered that an argument on Facebook and decided to go after me.
So wait a minute. You had an online discussion with somebody a long time ago and
yes.
She let it poison her for this long that she had to go make up bald-faced lies about you?
She was, well, you know, I know who she is now. So I will tell you that she at the time was a drug addicted meth dealer and she has a lot of mental issues. And it just shows you that you just never know who you're talking to. And she's so super focused on me that she ended up for about the next whole week finding out everything about me that she could and then go after me. You know, it's not that hard to find realtors' contact information. You know, our whole business is online. We want people to know what our phone number and our email is, you know, but my Facebook, I was so clueless and probably naive. I didn't know that Facebook, everybody could see it. I thought only my friends could see it. You know, I'm not very technical, you know, I'm not a very savvy person when it comes to, or well, at least back then I was when it comes to social media. So I started locking everything down, but it was already too late. I ended up also found out that the person that was sending the links to it, you know, to my bosses, my family, my friends and everybody else was another young lady in California that just considered herself a vigilante. So she actually ended up making the story bigger than it probably would have been. So I ended up suing both of them. Of course, none of them have money. So I lost enormous amount of money in business because people just don't want the drama in their lives. You know, so when you Googled my name back then, all you would see is that story. And a lot of people said, when there's, you know, smoke, there must be fire. I'm like, no, there is no smoke and there's no fire. Going forward, I won my lawsuit this year. I was awarded everything, you know, all the way. The judge, federal judge, has ordered that all that stuff be removed from online. You know, we're still working on it. But I tell you, the 3 years that I fought this thing, it was so incredibly tiring. That's number one. But it just, you could not, I mean, this is worse than in the movie. You could never make it up. You know, this lady that I dealt with that was addicted, she doubled down. She actually ended up writing more about me and even worse stuff. And I couldn't stop her from writing stuff online. So I decided I'm going to go ahead and meet with her.
Oh, you did?
I did. My attorneys were in such an uproar. What are you doing? I'm going, look, you've been working on this for 2 years. You could not stop her from writing stuff online. I am going to go now. I'm going to meet with her. I'm going to use all my sales tools that I have and negotiating tools. And I am going to convince her to stop. So we ended up meeting in this little restaurant in a public place. My husband was parked across the street with gun loaded and ready to go because we were dealing with a person who also was up on charges for kidnapping and assault. it just kept getting better and better. But in any case, I walked in. I was really scared, to be honest with you. I didn't know if I'm going to get punched or, you know, is it going to be somebody who is high? What am I going to be dealing with? And here walks in this lady, or she was actually already there. I walk in and I see her and I recognize her because I pulled up her pictures on Facebook. And red hair, you know, tattoos of hammer and sickle, communistic stuff. She had in her ears, instead of regular earrings, she actually had normal screws like you'd get at Home Depot. And going, and there I am in my white t-shirt, jeans, and, you know, just sneakers, blonde, blue eyes. I'm going, oh my goodness, you could not have two different people sitting across that table. But I thought, well, she has to find out that I am not that person that she thinks I am. Because on social media, written word does not convey the feeling behind what you're trying to say. So we started talking. We talked for about 4 hours. I could not believe that by the time I walked out of that restaurant, I actually knew how to make meth. Because that's what she talked about.
The unexpected benefit, I guess.
You know, and my husband, he says, are you okay? He called me, he says, are you okay? I said, yes, I'm leaving now. And he said, how did it go? I said, well, I guess if I never make it in real estate, I know how to make meth now. Of course, I'm joking. But it was just so mind-blowing to me. But, you know, I talked to her. I do understand she had a lot of mental issues. And, you know, addiction is not pretty. I'm not excusing what she did. I think in a weird way, I can understand people lose their minds. Yeah, I can forgive it. I had to forgive it. I could not go angry for this for, you know, longer than 3 years. So, you know, I find myself today and just I moved my business has recovered. I knew it would. I knew all I have to do is just work twice as hard. People know me. They know I'm honest. They know that I have always their best at heart and they will go away. And the story picked up and a lot of positive stories have been written about what happened to me and moving forward, because I am definitely not collecting any of my damages from her. She's back in prison now because even though she got a sweet deal with prosecutor here for her previous kidnapping and assault, I guess she violated those terms. So she's back up for 20 years, facing 20 years. So it's just, I have never, ever thought in my life that something like this will happen over arguing. Because really what the original story, new story was that a teenager at Auschwitz, back in Poland, and I'm originally from Poland, so I'm very familiar with Auschwitz. I've been there 5 times. I was taking friends and family. And a teenager took a selfie, and it was a smiling selfie.
Right, I remember that.
Yes, and she, Molly, the lady that wrote the story about me, the false story about me, is from Jewish descent. And she was so outrageous. And it was life-threatening toward the teenager. And she was just thought that was outrageous. And my argument was that teenagers do really stupid stuff. I raised 2 of those. And I knew the backstory for this young lady. So I knew she was just kind of her, you know, her father passed away and they both wanted to go there. And it was her saying, I made it here. They're a big World War II buffs. So I defended the teenager online and she thought that was outrageous. And this is how the whole thing started. And, you know, she posted this false story on this website called shesahomewrecker.com, which is another side to this, because I had no clue that there are such a websites out there. Why would anybody go and, you know, wash their dirty laundry out there for everybody to see? And there's no protection. There's no checks or anything, whether they're telling the truth or not. But, and they think they're anonymous. And that's the thing, you know, that I found out through the process, that nobody is anonymous online. And if somebody is determined enough, like me, they will find you. I would find you. So that's my story. Yeah, still dealing with it a little bit, but definitely trying to put it behind me. But I would love to have some sort of effect on maybe changing the laws so this cannot happen to, you know, I'm blessed that I've been successful enough in real estate that I had, you know, a little nest egg saved up that I was able to handle this lawsuit, because the lawsuit cost me $135,000 so far. So I'm fortunate that I could do it. But if you don't have the funds, or if, let's say, you're a stay-at-home mom,
right,
and you cannot meet the threshold of loss of minimum $75,000 in income, well, if you're a stay-at-home mom, then you're not making money, right? So you work hard, but you don't get paid for it. If you can't meet the threshold, then you can get into federal court. And another thing is, there's two ways you can do it. You either has to be a violation of federal law, and in my case, it was copyright on my professional photo. The photo that you have, the headshot, that was actually copywritten. And because she used my professional photo, thank goodness, I was able to enter federal court. But, you know, people will pull your pictures off of Facebook and they'll post those. And those are not copywritten. So there's two ways to get in there, either violation of federal law, like copyright, or you have to show you lost $75,000 in income, which is almost impossible for a lot of people. And, you know, and I think about, let's say you're a teacher who maybe makes $30,000 a year. How is she going to show such a loss? And, you know, you have to go to federal court, because if you go just to state court and the server for one of those websites is way out in Arizona, Arizona's not going to listen to Alabama. They're just not. So it has to be a federal court. So I hope at least what I can do is continue to fight for some sort of protection for people. I'll give you an example. I have, over the years, I have heard from so many people. And there was a young lady who was substitute teacher. And somebody posted her on a different website, which is like something similar where anybody can post. But what the story was, they posted that she was suspected pedophile.
Oh.
Well, you know that these days, every employer looks at social media, checks your name. Well, guess what? She lost her job and she can't get another one. And that should be so, this should be punished. This should not be happening. This is crazy that just few words online can ruin somebody's life.
Well, especially when there's no
basis for it,
evidence,
right?
There's no evidence, there's no real story to it. But we as humans have to remember that when you start making assumptions about somebody based on what you read online, you don't know that person. I think the biggest thing I take away from your story, besides the fact that we should all be trademarking our pictures online, hello, everybody better make sure they're doing that, because that
exactly.
was your protection. But you took that really bold human step of sitting down with her so that she would see that you're a human. Not that it solved anything with your problems. It didn't get your money back. It didn't get your business back. You had to do that through hard work. But you can sleep at night knowing that you did everything possible to help her look at people differently. And I really applaud you for that, because that's not just a scary thing for you and your husband. It was, you're really putting yourself out there in a world that doesn't do that anymore. I think that's amazing that you did that.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. You know, I didn't know what else to do except to meet with her. And I know people are going to think that I'm crazy, but in some way, I feel sad for her. I feel bad for her, as much as she hurt me and my business, because her life was really horrible. I've been blessed to have wonderful parents. You know, I was born and raised in Poland. You know, I moved here when I was 18, and then not long after met my husband, and we're still here. And I've been really, really blessed in her life from very, very beginning, full of abuse, and she dealt with mental illness and, you know, then drug addiction. You have to always see a little bit of human in each human, you know. So as much as I let her see that I am human, I see her more than a drug dealer. I know this is crazy, but I look at her and she's a human being. And sometimes life just goes wrong for people. She was very sorry that she did it. And I know I'm still cleaning it up of what, you know, I always knew that even though she wrote the story, she could never take it down. It would be left up to me to clean it up. But it really made me at peace when she apologized. You know, she cried, I cried. She told me about her children. You know, one kind of took the same path as she has. And then she has the little one, which now is going to be like, it doesn't have a father, and mom is going to be in prison now. So it's just really sad. I really look at it as such a waste, because this lady that did it to me is extremely intelligent. She's so well-spoken. You know, if you look at the story she wrote about me, this is not just, you know, she's very good at writing too. She's very well read. And I looked at it as like, what a wasted life. It's just a different path that she took. So yeah, we're all human. And, you know, my advice would be, I know people, you see, you read statements on social media or online, and you think that person is, in today's world, either a racist or this or that, you know, with exception, there's always that little percentage that's true. But in most cases, people are just expressing their opinions, and they're not just words on the screen. They're real human beings. And the one comment or one expression is not their whole life. It's just that one comment, you know, so walk away. Obviously, I only argue now with my friends on Facebook. I don't go on news stories and this would be really terrible if I did it again, right?
Well, honestly, we all know we should stay out of comment threads on public articles anyway. So here's your reminder, people, why you stay out of comment threads, why you trademark your photo, and why you sometimes go out of your comfort zone to confront somebody so that you can cure their perception of you. And ask yourself, when you read something online, when you jump to conclusions, if you've given somebody the benefit of the doubt, because Monica here is setting a great example for all of us. Now, if our listeners have a need for real estate and a good professional in Huntsville, Alabama, Monica, how can they reach you?
You can definitely find me on Facebook. It's under Monica Glennon. I have a page, Facebook page, as well as my phone number is 256-665-8772. And my email is monicaglennon@gmail.com, but Monica with a K.
That's right, because it's a special kind of Monica.
It's a special kind of Monica.
I didn't write that down, but it's okay, because all of Monica's information will be in the show notes for this episode.
I am definitely easily found online these days.
You may as well be. I mean, you've already been through all of this. There's no reason to hide, right?
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that story and giving everybody on this show a little bit of a different perspective, not just on real estate as a business, but on being better humans overall. Monica, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, people, if you have your own story to tell, hit me at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks to be featured in a future episode. Subscribe for more, and we'll see you next time. And by the way, go be more human.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.